back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's welcome in Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. It's crossover.
Let the man play. Dude, let the man play.
Oh, Goo?
Let him play.
Because he's like waiting for me.
Let the kids play in baseball. Let the old guys play in real life.
Like a lion on the Serengeti. I'll be here when you do get hurt.
Let him play.
And he's going to laugh.
No, he's not wrong. You're going to get hurt. But let him play.
Oh, boy.
No, but that's okay.
Sure it is.
Are we talking about Goo playing basketball again?
Or just active.
Or whatever.
No, okay.
Or whatever.
Nothing wrong with being active.
Whatever, yeah. Whatever you just said. No, to me, this is not
what
all
makes
that,
you happy,
it's Willard? Not all that different than what I said to you last week when I asked you if you like chocolate. You like chocolate?
Oh.
Yeah. Why do you eat it?
Why do I? Because it tastes good.
But it's terrible for you.
Okay.
So short-term gain, long-term loss.
No,
how's hoops different?
I am...
Right?
There's a misunderstanding here.
Possibly.
If he enjoys it, he should do it.
Yeah. Why not celebrate? I'm 50, I haven't done it.
It's like about one fact. You will get hurt. At some point, you're going to get hurt. But... Knock yourself out.
Well, he already got hurt. He had a...
came from me doing the splits at the park.
I mean, you got hurt doing the splits.
But I'm in a church yesterday listening to the reverend. And real quick, you guys didn't ask, but the theme was, what you always hear when you go into church, tomorrow's not promised, and be happy. You can't make anybody else happy if you're not happy with yourself. And playing ball makes me happy. And if I'm in the bedroom and I need a blue chew, call me A-Rod, I'll utilize that. Yes. Those things are there.
It's a utilization sensation.
Yeah, like I'm not ashamed. Like, I'm a ride till the wheels come off, dude.
I like it.
I'm not ashamed.
Are we trying to get Blue Chew back as a sponsor? Before Willard's time, but
you might be right.
I believe I've been updated on what I missed. Yeah.
I always like to make sure you're in the fold.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're my brother, my partner.
No, you guys are you're reminding me of something. I don't even know. I was like bored and scrolling yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And Ice-T, the rapper.
What do you got here?
Law and Order.
Slash actor,
he tweets out this video, and all he writes above it is, could be one of the coldest ice cold facts of all time. I better look at that video. I better watch it. And I watch it, and it's just a video of a dude driving in the rain, and the video is out the front windshield. So it's windshield wipers are going. And it's a guy just talking about your own death and essentially how, what do you think happens at your funeral and then after that?
And I love this.
It's a lot of tears. It's a lot of emotion. But within about 3 days, your boss is looking for a replacement. Within about 5 days, your family is going back to work and school.
Man.
Within about 2 weeks, your ex-spouse laughs at something that's comedic that they see online or on TV. And the whole point that he's getting at is live for you.
Wow.
Because you about to be forgotten.
Yeah.
We all got a number.
I can't wait.
That is, I don't
you
like
about
that
to
stuff,
be forgotten when you go.
Yeah.
Wow. The show goes on.
I mean, it does. And who the hell in this room has not experienced that just in the last 6 to 12 months? And it's not to say, forgotten part. No, right?
Steiny,
you remember your dad. I'm not saying that.
I hear you.
You know, but boy, as sure as the sun comes up, life goes on.
So that's some real,
live for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt.
I need a cocktail.
That's right?
So
that's what I get for scrolling on social media.
Wow.
I'm like, damn, I see. I was having a good day until you came along with your damn video. Whew. Anyway, go ahead.
What you got?
Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, yeah, he's not getting traded, Dibs.
Well, I mean.
Probably not.
Probably not, but the whole idea about how much he's going to get, and we need to wait and see what the guaranteed money, the true guarantee, not the fake guaranteed money, but the actual money that's 100% guaranteed of this latest deal that dropped today from Amon-Ra.
Oh, so you're not buying
Saint
the seven?
Brown.
That was a...
No, that's guaranteed, but that's only guaranteed if he plays through the entirety of the contract. Once you get past your second year, then certain portions of the contract then become guaranteed. We had David Lombardi on yesterday, excellent guest,
okay.
Stanford grad, very smart, yeah. And he was talking about the differences between the actual guarantee and the true guarantee.
The injury guarantee, in other
right.
words, like some of it is not, it's still funny money because they can,
oh.
if you were to get, like even when, was it Tyreek Hill's, I
yes.
think?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, you would read, he got 4 years and $120 million, so he makes $30 million a year.
And 77 was guaranteed.
And 77 right. was guaranteed, but 77 is not guaranteed because if Tyreek Hill gets into a bus accident tomorrow
oh,
and his like,
life, nothing promised.
Piece of his yeah, leg comes gotcha. Off, then he's going to get an injury settlement.
Okay.
Which is,
but
less,
what about the-
is less than that.
Okay.
That 77 number or
I've
whatever
got something
it was.
For you and Dave.
72.
But what about the those numbers to the cap? Does that still stay the same?
Who's Dave?
You call me
Lombardi.
Dave?
Lombardi. No.
Because he looked
right.
Is it a Dave Day?
Did you, like, know what I mean? What is,
did you and Lombardi get into it?
Did we get into it?
Oh, my gosh.
No, what do you mean?
Oh, my God. What, he said something. I turned on the radio yesterday, and you were adamant that if we lose Brandon Ayuk, we are worse.
That's how
and
I feel.
And Lombardi's saying, you can lose Ayuk, upgrade the offensive line,
no,
and maybe be
no.
better.
Mark did counter that with
Thank
his
you.
Own follow-up.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Which
he didn't,
I
he didn't give
more.
In.
Yeah,
Mark,
no, he
I agree
did.
With you.
I said, fine, you're better on the offensive line. Yeah. Who's playing receiver?
But
and
what
he goes,
that,
well, yes, at that position.
There'll be a rookie would, or Juwan
would,
Jennings.
You would be lessened at that position. And it is my right, opinion but, that that's not a position where they can be lessened.
And will it?
Well,
I agree.
No, I'm just like I'm just yeah, messing around. But according to Lombardi, it was the it's the worst position group. The
O-line.
The,
great,
the right side of the O-line,
I agree
yes.
So
agree.
I mean, in
address
theory,
it.
You beef up the offensive line.
But you can do that
and you
without.
Drop,
exactly. But you can do that without trading Brandon Ayuk.
Yes. Well, but he was saying that maybe they think there's a guy.
Yeah.
That Lynch was talking about
was
the flexibility guys,
right.
maybe to move down to
that
15.
Was, that was hypothetical.
Right.
It was hypothetical.
I mean, to me, it's possible that you upgrade the offensive line, you downgrade the receiver just a little bit, and maybe your overall offense is better. I think that's within the realm of possibility.
Here's what I think is the real rub. So this is what everybody, I think after doing plenty of reading in the last, you know, sort of like 15 hours, I wonder if this helps anyone because I know that this cap and all this stuff and guarantees and practical gain, it gets really kind of convoluted. So, what the 49ers are looking at right now is essentially 2025. It's not 2024. There are absolutely no worries whatsoever for 2024. But in 2025, if you just do the whole keep everyone thing, you sign Brandon Ayuk to a contract extension, then what happens is all of these people could potentially be at the top of the market at their position all at once, all on one side of the ball. Okay? Brandon, Debo, George, Trent, Kyle Juszczyk, and Brock Purdy. All of them, all at once, all top of the market-ish, all in one season. And they're not doing that. So this is a matter of when. Not if, but when and who. So who goes and when? That's what you have to decide.
Yeah. Not what takes like, you go over Debo.
I agree with you 100%. Right.
It feels like conventional wisdom is that at least after this year, they'll probably have to lose either Ayuk or Debo Samuel. Like
or
that's what feels like.
Well, the other piece is or George Kittle.
Or George.
And that's where and you look at what his contract is after 2024, you do have a potential out for George Kittle, much like you do for Debo Samuel. So if what Mark's talking about comes to pass, and Brock's going to get paid, and if he gets near top of the market, and Ayuk winds up with $55 million guaranteed, a true guarantee
yeah.
now, not the fake guarantee, but the real money, and you're going to have to pay that out, and then you've got George, and Trent is going to be sitting on a big contract as well, maybe his last year, you're going to have hard choices to make.
Debo's guarantee was 58? 58?
Yes, but I don't know if that was the true guarantee,
okay.
though. And that's you get that win if you play all the way through and you don't get hurt and, you know, your contract doesn't get canceled. And if he get if his contract gets canceled, if he gets cut at the end of the year, well, I still don't think he gets the full 58.
You still get the guarantee. That's why it's called a guarantee. Right. You can't cut out of a guarantee, but if you get injured, then it gets there's an injury settlement. That's the way I understand
it. Like, Debo got all of that. Yeah. Yeah, at the table.
The reason that there's money above what's called the guarantee, that's the money where it just goes away if you get cut. And that's why TJ Houshmandzadeh and others have helped us this week, at least open my eyes a little bit further into contracts like Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, who we'll look at and go, 30 a year and 28 a year. Well, not really, because if you go to the last year, I mean, the Tyreek Hill contract, over a third of it is wrapped up in the last year. Over a third of that $120 million is wrapped up in the final year. If the Dolphins come to him, and they will,
no doubt,
before that final year and go, all right, what are we doing? It's either restructure or cut. He's not getting that number. So
he ain't getting cut.
Yeah. Well, let's see where we're at.
Right, right.
Let's see where we're at. And that's why that's what I would suggest for the 49ers is very much a let's see where we're at. I would play another year and see where we're at, and I would not send the 26-year-old out the door in favor of all these other people. Because, by the way, one more. I'm sorry I left that out of the list. Christian McCaffrey, who's also up in 2 years, also making top of the market.
And where's he going to be at physically?
And will turn 30. So you all these battering rams, get him another year. Who's been the most durable? Who's the youngest? Oh, I'm not getting rid of that guy. And I'll tell you that right now.
So basically what you're laying out is the phrase that you hated for 3 or 4 months. And it's going to be the phrase that we all kick around going into this year.
I still reject it.
Super Bowl or bust?
Nope.
Super Bowl or bust this thing up.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I'm going to sidle on out of here today, but did you hear Guru's willing to reacquire Kevin Durant?
Okay.
At the end of the season. He's willing to give him Jonathan Kuminga on 95.7.
Yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah. Stick and stay. I love it.
Number three. It's called being a bleep starter, Steiny.
He missed the joke.
I used to know a guy like that who would, like, and this is
happening. Oh, it's him. Yeah.
In the media room, right? And this would happen at Staples. They then called Staples Center. Hit him straight, Steiny.
Yeah.
At Staples Center, you'd have about 8 big round circular tables.
You're supposed to drop the bloop? But yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Well, they're distracted.
Oh, okay.
Grandy, I'm just name dropping my face off. So you'd be sitting there at these big circular tables. Stu Lance would be there.
God.
Right. Michael Thompson, he'd coming in to talk about it. Sometimes players from other teams, right? One time, Jesus Shuttlesworth was at one of the tables.
Right.
And he was just sitting there at the big round tables. And there's a good buddy of mine. His name is Dennis. Rest in peace. He's no longer with us. But that was literally his stated goal. He would go to one of the tables. You just drop a controversial barbershop statement.
There you go. That's him.
Get everybody all riled up. And as soon as it would get hot, you would turn and look for Dennis and be like, I can't believe you. Hey, where'd Dennis go?
And he just
gone. I've met them. I work with one. In the bathroom. Or he's at the food table.
He did his part already.
Total bleep starter.
Yeah. I do think, though, I don't even know what you said about Kevin Durant, but it feels to me like Phoenix is going to have to do something to break that thing apart, and you're not getting rid of Booker, and I don't know if Bradley Beal has the teams coveting him like that, because I was telling Mark this, maybe it was yesterday or the day before, the Suns play hate ball, and Mark said, what's hate ball? And hate ball is, I hate you, so I'm not going to pass it to you.
And Durant's just going and standing around like a bump on a pickle in the corner.
And he's clapping and getting mad when he doesn't get it.
But it's like, come on, Vogel, give me something. But Steiny's exercise was he just went down the list, because no series is over, of the guys that are down 0-2, and he's calling them fossils. And we're watching Anthony Edwards, as great as he is, talk the mess to KD. But I'm like, Steiny, Phoenix had no others. The Lakers are down, we'll talk about our bet, 0-2, because the others aren't answering the bell. The Nuggets, their others are balling.
Yeah.
So I say that to say, if there was a scenario to where Kevin Durant or a guy like him could be reunited with Steph Curry, with the Warriors, who we already know, Joe Lacob picked up the phone to see the availability of one LeBron James, would he not do that for Kevin Durant? So that's where we went, because I think there's a there's a foul odor in Phoenix.
Oh, for sure.
And this would be Durant's second big three failure, if you allow me to say that. And could the Warriors benefit from something happening that we didn't see on the aisle of trying to get back to relevancy because a situation soured or got ugly? And I'm looking at Phoenix. They're only down 0-2, but I'm like, that just doesn't look right.
I mean, we can and we will continue to sort of like speculate about where those situations will come. And most likely each one that we talk about will not come to pass. However, where you're spot on, Goo, is that that's what the Warriors are waiting for.
Okay, wow.
And so...
It's dead?
We talked about this yesterday. I sort of switched what my thought process is about what the Warriors are doing this offseason, and I'm preparing myself for it to be a little bit more boring than we all think.
Okay.
Because what I think they're actually doing is they're going to start the waiting game. They have achieved this, started with the Jordan Poole trade. They have achieved flexibility. They don't have any... horrible, there's some bad, but no horrible long-term contracts. I know some people are screaming about Draymond or Wiggins right now, but they're not out of control, and they're not for 5 years, that kind of thing. What the Warriors will now do, I think, is they will continue to keep their flexibility, yep, keep their assets in place, and be ready to pounce hard whenever that guy, whoever he is, becomes available. A la Lakers and Anthony Davis. They may not know who it is yet. I know that they know some of the situations that could go that way, but they're not going to go out this offseason, start signing people or acquiring people.
I agree.
To like, let's be better right now, and lose their flexibility for when the big guy may become available.
Yeah. And KD's making 51 next year and 54.7 the year after. So if we're talking about Joe Lacob being below the second apron or staying out of the tax, then this becomes a non-starter because you're going to keep Draymond and you probably want to bring back Klay if you really want to keep this thing together with KD. So I don't know financially how that would work. And Mark has talked before about assets that the Warriors have, which is basically future first-round draft picks and Kuminga and perhaps Moody, and please take Wiggins if you wouldn't mind. And, you know, if that's all enough to get Kevin Durant, then you're looking to shoot your shot, and you're going to be over the second apron again, which means your 2030 first-round pick can no longer be traded if you continue to be above the second apron. So Mark's right, I think, in his approach, and the Warriors are doing the same thing. They're scoreboard watching, but they're doing it for a different reason now, and they're kind of rooting against Minnesota.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you're rooting against Milwaukee. And you're rooting against Phoenix.
Rooting against everybody.
You're rooting for the young teams that won't break it apart.
Well, yes.
Like OKC, they're not going to do anything. Yeah. Boston.
Sure.
And, you know, you're not rooting against Denver because Denver's not doing anything. But
I don't know if Durant is the old guy you want. Like, I do think there's...
I'm out on Durant.
Right,
but
like
the synergy him and Steph made was... Man. It's like it would really get tested now that they're older. But there
I'm
was
going
something
channel 247 on you, DirecTV.
Yeah, well,
the History Channel.
Oh, I thought True TV.
I made
TV.
That out.
Yeah,
now.
Okay. I think
249
TV.
Is going... Yeah. Golf
TBS,
channel.
Yeah.
Whatever the channel is, it's History Channel. And I think that KD has become, he's like Steph. He's diminishing. Right. He's declining. And
they're missing a point guard to get those three. And like Chris Paul, I heard this. I'm in the church yesterday. To San Antonio, I immediately said, oh, my God, for Paul and Wimby and that young, he would be perfect. And they might make the playoffs. You could be like, come on, Goo. Like, that's how much I think of Chris Paul. I didn't want him here. I knew what he was, Willard, and it was never he wasn't ready. I just thought he didn't fit and he was older. But if San Antonio got some, a point guard is a must if you want to get everybody involved.
But see, this is the circumstance thing that I think we always talk about, and there's no way to know. In other words, did Chris Paul look really good with the Warriors because he was being asked to do so much less?
Mm.
Or could that still transfer into a 32-minute per night guy?
I don't think he's a 32 minutes a night anymore.
I think he thinks he's a 32-minute guy.
Of course he does.
Oh, there's no
doubt. The
same
way you still think you can play basketball.
Wow, that got personal.
No, but you know what I mean?
He's number two.
My point is, we always think that about ourselves.
Yeah. And Brandon Ayuk probably thinks he's in Justin Jefferson. And
of course. Yeah. And Steph Curry looks at Draymond and, we ain't done.
Right.
Well, but you probably are. But you're never going to take that belief away from a person.
Okay.
And so, sure, Chris Paul thinks that. His history would suggest, though, that if you do that, he's going to break down. And so it's kind of like the conversation that we've always had with the Warriors and even the Niners when they had Trey Lance about give him a chance. All right. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Well, but what would they do if you gave him the chance? Why have they not gotten that chance? Is it because somebody's got something against them, or is it because they're seeing things in practice? So, for instance, when TJD comes out and plays well,
yeah,
and people will go, see, you waited too long. Well, did you wait too long, or did you do it just right?
Because and that's
if he had come in 2 months ago, do you think you would have looked like this? Or would he look like a deer in the headlights?
And I have the same take when people say, in this case it was Mark Grady, oh, you need to play Steph more. Playing Steph more, like 36, 38, 40 minutes, does not necessarily mean that he's going to play better in those extra minutes.
It goes back to the Minnesota game when you guys say it's only 2 minutes. I would take that over... You know,
that was the game that we debated, Grant. Yeah, it was 70, the Minnesota
that,
game.
They would have won that had he been in.
I don't think you can say that. And, you know, they have Rick Celebrini.
But wouldn't you try to lose doctor. That way, though? Knowing I got somebody that's, you know what I mean?
Like, I know exactly.
I'd rather lose knowing that wasn't the reason all day.
I know what you mean. But also, for example, this whole city has just decided that if Draymond doesn't get suspended, we're the four seed.
Would we? Mark, there's something to that.
Who's in that camp?
Yeah, right. But and if that's the case, here's the funniest part to me. If that's the case, then Draymond's the most underpaid player in the league. Wow. If he's literally the wins above replacement that are being suggested in this point would tell me that Draymond's the best player in the league. If he can... Literally,
but Mark, we're talking just 5 to 7 games possibly out of the batch that he missed.
Right. So if his wins above replacement are 5 to 7 in a 25 game stretch, that would suggest that he is a 20 wins above replacement player stretched out over a whole season. That's just not
okay. But his WAR is not zero.
So, well, of course
not. Again, they didn't lose every game that he was out.
I can't tell you that they wouldn't have been the 4 seed, but it's like. I do think sometimes we move on with things like that as if they're fact.
All right. I got two things.
Stay as long as you
can. It could be the pitchers and the pitch clock. I don't think there's any correlation of them getting hurt, or I could go back to IU, because I want to go back to IU real quick.
We'll hit them both. Okay. Because I got takes on the pitchers and the injuries.
And people all day, Goo, you're not a mind reader. I'm just suggesting. The fact that Ayuk's girlfriend went on Twitter and said this may be the last game, last season, the brother said something. We've seen that with Dak, CeeDee Lamb's mom. They all went on Twitter and they came back to the team. My point is, I don't think this offense could feed Ayuk if he really is thinking he's in the Justin Jefferson category and the CeeDee Lamb. You're not going to get 120 and 30. That's just not the offense here.
I don't think he cares.
Okay.
I don't think he cares.
And I'm with you. So I said if they pay him almost like that, then that will make his life easier when he's, you know, at home on the sofa with his brother and friends saying, why are you not, and TJ, who's Gonzaga, why are you not putting up those big numbers? I'm not in that type offense. But what can keep that quiet is you pay me like you know I could be that.
And
so I'm interested to see where you go.
I'm interested to see, and I wish I could be in this negotiation because, and I talked to TJ about this, and the Niners, I use the term weaponizing. Are the Niners going to weaponize the fact that he was 31st in the league in catches? And I kind of was poking TJ, knowing that TJ doesn't mind being poked.
And I agreed with his answer.
I poked TJ and he punches back, and it's a great back and forth because he scoffed at that. He's like, and he's, you know, second in yards per catch, and he's, where's he in yak? And he's fourth in yards and this and that. And so all the metrics versus if the Niners wanted to say, hey, you know, 31st in catches, they don't need Ayuk as much as other teams would have used him.
Okay.
And it's because they spread it around. If you look at targets in the Niners offense, it's almost dead even between Christian, George, Brandon, and Debo. Their targets are almost identical, and I think that's the way it's
going to
be.
But are they going to invest, Willard? Is he going to get paid off of that scenario?
Yes.
Then that's a problem, and that's why he'll probably
get traded.
I don't think it's
a problem, because which numbers are you paying for? Like, I feel like we as fans fall prey to, we only look at the numbers that help our fantasy team.
$60 million guaranteed, I think, is fair for IU. Do you think that's ridiculous?
I don't Think that's ridiculous?
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
And do you think that's what it'll be?
I think he thinks that's ridiculous, and that's the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, we're talking about guaranteed at signing or like the full guarantee.
The guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, that's if he gets 60, that would be the record.
More than Debo.
Well, I think Debo's guaranteed at signing is in the 40s. Right
now,
the
record. Amon Ra just got over 70 today.
Yeah, he just got 70 today.
But we don't know what the actual guarantee is.
No, we don't. But that's like, let's go with what we know.
Sure.
70 today. Sure. Debo got like 53 or 58, 54.
50, more than that. Yeah. And I think if Ayuk wants to reset the market, and that's what we heard from, you know, from TJ Houshmandzadeh, and we heard from David Lombardi.
Or he suggested that that's probably something that they would at least try for. Like,
right.
my guess is the Niners would like to guarantee 55 and Brandon wants 70.
I don't think they're ready to say we can replace you. I don't think
they can't.
And that's how
I
feel.
And he knows that. But they also have the leverage of, dude, you can't go anywhere either.
Well, I cannot show up if we get past tomorrow.
And who wins there?
Right. Debo, we thought, he got his.
Time and space.
Your boy
timing is everything. And now the Niners are in a spot where they're paying a lot more people top of the market dollar, and now they've got a quarterback who's about to get broken off. So they didn't have that when Debo was doing his deal.
And the receiver market is going up. Amon Ra sliding in, and we still have Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, and they're probably going to go higher than Amon Ra.
Man. For sure.
So
for
then,
sure. CeeDee, I mean, about to get paid or should.
And that's what you said in our show thread earlier. You're like, hurry up and sign him. Because it's going
It's not getting any better.
Right.
By any stretch.
Wow.
And Brandon has a point. That's what I mean by which numbers. You can be like, well, I don't like the targets. And he's going to be like, but I still gave you 1,300 yards. And if you do want to go advanced analytics, there are plenty out there that would suggest that Brandon Ayuk was the most efficient receiver in the game.
Man, you don't have to tell
me. Now, part of that also suggests because he's playing on a very efficient, good team. He knows that. Here's what I go back to. Neither of them want to part ways. Neither of them want to
part
ways.
It makes sense.
And so I don't think they will.
Right.
They don't want to. But they've got to figure out something that allows the 49ers to still function. You're going to have to get rid of someone within the next 15 months. I pick not Brandon.
That's just me. I'm right behind you.
But, a tough choice is going to have to get
made. But I don't expect him traded tomorrow. I just don't.
I don't either.
Well, I think if they get an offer that is sweet and one that they can't refuse, then maybe. If there's a receiver, and Mike Silver had a great article in the Chronicle, I think it was yesterday, he listed about 6 or 7 receivers who likely will be there at the top of the second round.
Uh-huh.
So if you can keep your 31st pick, if you can wind up with a high second round pick and a future third, it might be tempting to go ahead and make that move and draft a receiver.
Because you got
to
give him credit for finding Ayuk. I'm like, Brandon who? I wasn't aware of Willard. I was like,
right?
I know you packed in, packed well. Like, who?
He's good.
He was a baller. Route running second to none.
It is a deep wide receiver draft, and you don't have to look at just the top three that are going in the top 10, but all the way through.
We think.
And there you go.
They think. The experts think.
Right. And it was a deep quarterback draft.
2021 on line one.
Yeah. Deep, and you're ready to turn the page on all those guys?
Yep.
Seems a little soon.
Really?
Yet we're standing by James Wiseman on wait and see.
4 of the 5 have been traded.
Dibs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Teams have dumped
And Trevor Lawrence, I'm
dumped
ready.
Them.
We had Mike Yam on from the NFL Network. I asked him about Trevor Lawrence. Like, I'm not throwing shade at the kid, but where are we at? How far is he from the rest of the guy, the other batch of the guys that have been traded and given up on?
He's like, I'm a shrug my shoulders and be like, he's good. Trevor Lawrence is good. I don't know what that necessarily gets you in the NFL. Like
NFL teams with quarterbacks, it's like 10-year-olds with Halloween candy. They just can't. They can't help themselves.
Well, but nobody would have picked anyone other than Trevor Lawrence. But by the same token, and I think we did this the other day, how many fingers are you using, okay, on your two hands before you get to Trevor Lawrence just in the AFC?
On quarterbacks who are better than Trevor.
Oh, there's a lot.
It's about 6 or 7.
Yeah, we
did it earlier
in
the week.
No doubt.
All right.
And it's pretty easy.
So what is Trevor Lawrence? What do the Jags stand to win with him being their quarterback for the next 10 years? I would argue it's very likely nothing. Now, you can't just move on from him.
They had that comeback win in the playoffs,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. But, I mean, do we really see a world where Lawrence navigates Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar, C.J. Stroud on the come, and I'm leaving a couple more names off.
Herbert, for sure.
Do we really see him navigating that? And if you don't, What do you do? And so he's probably, you'll love this, Goo, Trevor Lawrence is probably destined to have a Dak Prescott kind of conversation about him.
Yeah.
Which is like, dude, you're good. And we don't want to not have you because we're going to stink and we don't have another option. But we're also like, we're just going to sit here and kind of make...
After we paid you like you were great.
We're just going to make the playoffs most of the time, and then we'll go away and we'll do this again next year.
I'll say this, random. Trey Lance is the one guy in that group that I can make an argument on a whiteboard that really, if you look at the game started, we've seen you not look good, but you haven't failed like the others.
For sure.
So I don't know whatever's going to pop off in Dallas. I'm looking at Trey Lance like, damn, we didn't see it. We saw it's still the first half to me. Like Fields, I lost that one. I was like, oh, you got all the other guys got umpteen starts, but Trey Lance,
he got four?
Five, I think. I could be wrong.
Start five? I thought he served four games.
Yeah, I didn't think he got hurt. Five, but yeah.
Well, there
exactly.
was the one he got hurt, okay. And then the Bears game.
Yeah,
and then
the Texans.
The previous year was Arizona and Houston,
yeah,
right?
You're right. Yeah.
So he's got a 2-2 record?
I'm like, Trey.
Well, think about like Zach Wilson, what
that's
you saw.
Four games, 2-2.
That's where
not only on the field, but in the locker room. And I thought Justin Fields, and I still think that he has a chance for some sort of a renaissance. But I thought last year he started playing well. And I was a little surprised that Chicago
gave up on him.
And they didn't get anything back. Yeah. And that's the thing, is the Niners got more for Lance than any of those other teams got for their quarterback they didn't like.
Let's throw that out there too. Yeah. With everybody with their Brandon Ayuk trade scenarios. You don't get what you think you're going to get.
You're getting a one.
No, Mike Silver said offering a one. They want a one, but no one's offering a one.
I heard someone call the roast today. Bless
what
you, sir. I forget your name. And your call was really smart. So I'm not like coming down your road. It was a smart call. But then he got to the end of it. And he's like, so here's how this is going to work. If you're going to trade Brandon, he's already a known commodity. So that means he's worth more than a first round pick. So I would trade Brandon if I get someone's like top 10 pick and a third rounder and a starting player.
Steelers on like, line one. Yeah.
Another GM would throw the phone if you, because I understand what he's saying. Brandon is a known commodity. Yeah. Any draft pick is not. What you're failing to realize is that unknown commodity draft pick gets to get paid peanuts for the next 5 years while Brandon's about to get about $30 million a year. So
in just, a deep wide receiver
yeah,
draft.
Yeah, the way the stock works is you're not, I know we love him. I love him. You're not getting that.
Well, I like to hear that because the Niners are not getting, that makes me think the trade is not in.
You are not getting a top 10 pick for Brandon Ayuk straight up.
Well, the word is the Niners wanted a first, and if they would have been offered a first, they probably would have traded him by now.
They might have.
But it's more likely that you get a second. Mike Silver had a good breakdown. A second and a future third, that would make you maybe think about it if you're the Niners. If you could have the 31st and like the 36th pick in this draft and pick up a coveted third next year, you'd at least think about it.
And I keep thinking about just about this Niner offense. I was right behind him when he said this, like week three or week four. This Niner offense is comparable as a whole to the 94 offense. And that's how I felt about, especially after they beat Dallas week five. I was like, this thing. But I just asking you two answers as to why they were so pedestrian in the playoffs, where woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, Green Bay, look at Ayuk's number, look at everybody's numbers. My question is, we can't blame all the players, and you could tell me, Goo, better defense is okay, but why didn't they pop off like the machine that they were against Green Bay, who was in the play? So
Brock was not phenomenal. Brock was good, but he wasn't as good as he had.
Nobody was. Brock wasn't great, and I know people like the Green Bay. You could do this circumstantially if you want, right? It's raining against Green Bay.
you say they
weren't good against Detroit.
He can't throw a wet ball.
They certainly were in the second half. They ended up with 34 points, so they weren't awful that whole game.
And wasn't that when McCaffrey fumbled at the 5? Was that that game? It wasn't in the Super Bowl, was it, where he coughed it up?
Oh, God.
Well, he coughed it up in the Super Bowl.
That's the one.
That was the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah.
Super Bowl. Opening drive, right?
Yeah. Somebody fumbled it against Detroit.
I think it was Christian. No, that was against Kansas City.
Brock threw a pick in the end zone. That's what it was against Detroit.
He did.
I thought he marched down and then they didn't get any points. I got to refresh.
I want to say he
remember 1994 better than I do right. 2 months ago.
Man.
We've repressed it.
But they didn't pop. I'm just curious why. And it's not pop. One player.
I mean,
that's interesting to me moving forward. Now you're going to tell me Brandon's gone? That's why I was like, hell nah. You got a Super Bowl to avenge. You know?
49ers' first drive of the NFC title game was a missed field goal.
Missed field goal.
Oh, there you go.
Super Bowl was McCaffrey fumble, right? McCaffrey fumble.
Yeah. Jake Moody.
They were going to score on that drive.
I really believe it.
They're marching.
Spagnuolo knew it, too.
What did he say?
We got to get out of this zone. This kid is cooking us. He's absolutely picking us apart. And they did.
Yeah.
And they did much better.
One play could change the course.
I mean, but yeah, I to me, I guess that's sort of the question of the day. If you're a Niner fan, it's two things. It's who and it's when. And my vote is not Brandon and not now.
All right.
I am dealing with this.
Yeah.
Next year at this
Bob
time.
Bob Myers told us on the executive show, you don't have to make a decision till you have to.
And that's where I'm at. I don't, and yes, that could bite you in the who knows what, because who's breaking legs and tearing ACLs?
And Debo missed a playoff, half of a playoff game against Green Bay.
That's why in the end, I would like you have to hitch your wagon to certain people. And if I'm the Niners right now, I'm willing to hitch my wagon to both Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk. Into the future, and then we will see where the likes of McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo, Trent, and Kyle, like, I'm going to deal from that group next year as opposed to trading Brandon Ayuk this year.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Juszczyk, and he already reworked his deal, and Kittle's already reworked his deal. Yeah, so you're already having guys who know what's coming, and they've thrown in some voidable years in the back end of their deal to get some cash up front.
So who is it? Who and when?
Debo Samuel next offseason. Yeah, that's the leader in the clubhouse.
I agree.
Unless Ayuk gets dealt tomorrow.
Oh.
I
would be flabbergasted.
Of course.
I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be flabbergasted.
But I mean, what would you do? would you do?
I would trade Brandon Ayuk tomorrow.
You would?
I would trade him, absolutely, because they don't want to pay him.
You just said Debo.
Oh, I mean, if he's still around at the end of Thursday,
then it's
Debo.
No, right now.
Trade Ayuk.
225.
Trade him!
But what makes you say they don't want to pay him, Dibs, when they did this with Debo and your boy held out last year?
Thank you.
Your boy held out last year, Bosa.
It's uncomfortable.
What makes you think they don't want to pay him?
Because Bosa is DPOY. And
it took a holdout to get him his chicken.
Right, but they run an offense that is not predicated on throwing the ball. Like Brandon Ayuk wants to be paid like the top of the market, and they don't need a guy to be top of the market. So trade him, get some picks, and draft the next wide receiver.
And I'm mad at you, too. I'm about to get out of here, but
you
ruined the game of baseball for me.
What do you mean?
Because now I'm watching, like, these dudes are throwing so much gas throughout the whole damn game.
Yeah.
That's why there's a lag. I'm watching through that. Like, I can't shake it, but I had to throw the pitch clock. Like, we can't blame the clock for these injuries.
It's not the clock.
Now.
No.
And that's how
it's
I feel.
Clock.
Come on now.
It's not the clock.
That's not. I
it's
didn't
clock,
like that.
Clock, clock, clock.
It's youth baseball having these guys throw max velocity. I read a study, and I know we're up against it, but a study of how many young high school kids are now throwing 80 and even 90.
Dude.
These kids are throwing 80 at 12 years old because they're all training to pump it up and go max velo at a young age, and that puts a lot of taxing on your UCL that eventually will come home to roost.
I'm watching the 10-year-olds throwing tons of breaking balls.
See, that was outlawed in my day.
Throw all the breaking balls. The thing is, though, Dibs, you're right. Nobody's afraid of a UCL injury anymore.
I remember I had the parent of Lou Darrell's team said his son was a San Diego State pitcher. I go, what's up? How's he doing? He goes, he just had Tommy John and gave me the thumbs up. I go, oh my God. He goes, no, it's good.
He'll come back and throw 5 miles an hour.
So now you want the kids to have Tommy John.
Keaton Wynn said to us yesterday, he was a better pitcher after TJ. Bye, Guru. Okay.
I love you guys.
All right. You want to do the show now?
Okay.
All right. Let's do the show next.
All right.
Okay.